Erev Tov, everybody. I'm going to put it on. Okay. Now, you noticed that I gave you the Haftorah for Parashat Bahar. So I'll tell you. It wasn't planned that I shouldn't be here last week. But I love the Haftorah of Parashat Bahar. I just love the Haftorah of Parashat Bahar. And I wanted to make sure that I say a shir on this Haftorah. Next week, Yitz Hashem, I'll be saying my two shirim in Tuesday in the morning, which is going to be on the Chukosai. And sort of, we started learning Haftorahs a year ago, Parashat Bamidbar. What I'll do later on, I'm not sure whether I'll fill in Haftorahs that I missed or Haftorahs of Yom Tovim. I don't know what, but you know, maybe finish the year with Haftorahs. Chapter 32 in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Pasuk 6. Vayomer Yirmiyahu, Hayod Dvar Hashem Elai Lemor. Yirmiyahu said, the word of God came to me so saying. The background of the first five psukim in this chapter are very significant. You don't have them here. I'll tell you what they are. This prophecy took place in the 10th year of King Tzidkiyahu of Yerushalayim. It was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel. That immediately puts you on notice. The Churban Abayit is going to be the following year, the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu, which corresponds to the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel. And where is Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu at this particular time is in jail. He is B'chatzar HaMatara. My picture, the picture in my mind of Chatzar HaMatara, was supposed to be some kind of dungeon below the king's palace. He is most probably the very first Jew to have been put in administrative detention. Why is he in administrative detention? Because the Navi says that he had been placed there because of all things. Yirmiyahu was walking through the streets of Yerushalayim saying, in the name of God, that the city is going to fall into the hands of the Babylonians. The city is going to fall. And Sikyo is going to be captured. And the king of Israel is going to be standing there as a captive in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel. Sikyo said that he is weakening the resolve of the people. He is inciting people. We can't have a dangerous fellow like Yirmiyahu walking the streets. So he was put into administrative detention. And here, whatever it is, for whatever reason it is, I have a picture of some kind of a dungeon, dark, deep, below ground, and there may be a little candle at some point, and there are people shuffling back and forth with torn and tattered garments. Of course, there are rats jumping around, you see them. And it's just, it's like the end of the world. The end of the world. And it's really dark, they can't see what's happening, but Yirmiyahu has a vision. A nevuah. The word of God came to me saying, behold, Hananel ben Shalom dodecha, your Hananel, the son of Shalom, who is your uncle, that means your cousin, boy Lech, is going to come to you, Neymar. He's going to come into prison and he's going to tell you, K'nelecho et sadi asher v'anatot, buy unto yourself my field that I have in Anatot. Because you have the law of redemption and purchase falls upon you. This immediately relates it to Parashat Bahar. Because in Parashat Bahar, it says, if a person has to sell his field, your brother is going to be in dire straits, he needs money, he sells his field. So first of all, there's one overriding halacha, which is the heart and the whole spirit of Parashat Bahar is, person sells his land, it will ultimately come back to him in Yovel You're going to call, proclaim liberty to the land and all the inhabitants thereof, and all fields return back. What's the reasoning behind it? Ki li ha'aretz, the earth, Eretz Yisrael, belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam. Lo timacher litzmitut, you can never sell a field in Eretz Yisrael in perpetuity, forever. And the halacha goes further and says, if I have to sell my field, then I always have the option to redeem it, and the fellow I sold it to can't stop me. But there's a provision. The provision is a sale of land has to be for at least 2 years. If the 2 years are up, then I can come and say, I want to buy it back, here's the money. If I can't buy it back, a member of my family can buy it back and hold on to it for me until Yovel. This field, therefore, that Hanamel wants to sell, in a certain sense, all the members of the Mishpucha have a responsibility to keep it within the family. So therefore, Hanamel comes and says, here, please purchase the field. The field is an anatot. Now you have to understand. It's because the Rebbe Yishim tells him that your cousin is going to come. So Yirmiyahu understands that the Rebbe Yishim wants him to buy the field. It's of course an offer that he can't refuse. By the way, you can be sure of one thing: nobody was selling fields in Anatot anymore. The bottom had fallen out of the real estate market because Anatot was already held by the enemy. It was conquered territory. It wasn't worth a plugged pruta. And Hashem tells him that your cousin is going to come and tell you, buy the field. And you know what happened? Vayovo Eloi Hanamel ben Dodi. Hanamel, my cousin, came, Kedvar Hashem. He came al Chatzar Hamatara, the chotzer, the courtyard in which people are held. Vayomer Eloi, he said to me, Kneino, please buy et Sodi Asher Banatot. It's amazing that he said it yet with a straight face. There's no question about it in my mind that he also has to have been programmed by the Ribono Shel Olam. God has to have programmed him. Go to jail. I don't even know how he got in, you know, how they let him through. I mean, he could have had a file in his pocket. Anyway, they let him in. And he comes to offer this great sale, by the field. Asher Be'eretz Binyamin, my field which is in Anatot. By the way, Yirmiyahu comes from Anatot. Yirmiyahu was min ha-Kohanim, Asher Be'Anatot, it was a city of Kohanim. We had mentioned Anatot a few weeks ago. Anatot is someplace between the Ve Yaakov and Givah.
It's just by Pisgat Zev.
There's an Arab village called Anta, that was Anatot. This was already enemy territory. The enemy, the Babylonian forces, are now surrounding Shemayim already. They've conquered all of the rest. Please buy my field that is in Atot Asher Be'eretz Binyamin. Now, the Mefarshim deal with why does he have to say Asher Be'eretz Binyamin? I mean, Yirmiyahu comes from Anatot. He doesn't know that Anatot is Be'eretz Binyamin anymore. Some of them want to say that the conversation is taking on the air of a legal document. The party of the first part, the party of the second part. This is going to be Gush Shmonim Chelka 23. So my field is in Anatot, which is Be'eretz Binyamin, you know, so we know exactly where it is. Because you have the law of inheritance, and you're the one who has the right, or maybe even the responsibility, to redeem the field, buy it. Says, I knew that this is Dvar Hashem. This is the fulfillment of Dvar Hashem. Why it has to be repeated here, I'm not really sure, except, of course, that even Yirmiyahu realizes that what's going on over here is so surrealistic. It's so unbelievable. They're shuffling around over here. These people are in prison. We're going to find out right away that the city is in the process of falling into the hands of the Babylonians. Nothing is worth anything anymore. And here we're going to have a real legal sale. Everything is going to be done. It's unbelievable. I imagine Yirmiyahu is saying, "Boy, I knew that this was certainly Dvar Hashem. Nobody in their right mind would come to sell a field and think that somebody even may buy the field in Anatot. This all has to be programmed by the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Where Knet HaSodom, I purchased the field. May Eid Hananel Ben Dodi, I bought it from my cousin, Hananel. I mean, you can ask the same question over here. Why do we, Nachamu, we have to be told that it's the cousin? How many times do we have to be told that it's the cousin? Unless, of course, that you know, that may in and of itself may also be necessary in the document so that we know that it's a mishpucha, that it brought it from the mishpucha, and there are certain rights and there are certain responsibilities. My cousin, Asher Banatot, Veshkalalu et HaKesef, and I weighed out the silver, Shiva Shkolim Vasorah HaKesef, 7 shekel and 10 pieces of silver. And I wrote into a document and signed. And I had witnesses who signed. And I weighed the silver in the scales. How did a set of scales end up down there in the Chatzar HaMataka? In other words, that's the last thing. Anybody who went there was probably all he had with him was his tefillin and his toothbrush. Nobody went ahead and brought scales over it. This is Hakol. It's all Yad Hashem. Huh? And who? Could be. To me, it still seems a little strange that the God of the Doris and Tiftach et ha'tik. What are you doing with scales over here? Oh, I'm going to sell my field. You're going to sell your field? Where's your field? Take the little field. Your field is worth 2 cents. I have a feeling that it's not Hananel coming in with Maznayim. I'm saying, no, I'm just saying that this is all part of the Rebbeinu Shlomo running the whole operation over here. That's a better kasha. Yeah, dungeon. He came with money over there. This is all divine, divinely choreographed and orchestrated. I took the document of sale et hachatum hamitzvah v'hachukim v'hagalui. I can't precisely explain each one of these documents, but there were a number of documents. I mean, if you ever bought an apartment over here in Eretz Yisrael, so you know already all the papers and the documents and the hymns, and then you go to the bank and the number of times that you have to sign and the number of times that you have to do your initial here, initial there, you know, the key on the bank, yeah, con that, con this, con that. All of this is done. What basically happened is they would write out the full text of the document, and it seems that Yirmiyahu himself signed on the bottom, and maybe Hananel signed. They can Yirmiyahu and buying such and such. And then they cover it over, and they would sew it up, and on the outside the witnesses would sign. And then there was the golui. The open part was, in brief, they would say, what's in here? Document of the sale of the field of Hananel ben Shalom in Anatot, which is in Binyamin, to Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu ben HaKohanim asher b'Anatot. In case there was ever a problem, and they had to check the document, then they would cut open the document and look at the whole thing. Anyway, this Yirmiyahu says, I did all of that. and I took the Sefer HaMikneh, the Chosom, the Mitzvah, the Chukim, the Golim, and I gave the Sefer HaMikneh, Baruch Ben Neriah. This is the first time that Baruch Ben Neriah appears in Tanakh. Baruch Ben Neriah is the great Talmud of Yirmiyahu. He is going to become the leader of the Jewish community in Bavel. His greatest student is going to be Ezra HaSofer, who is going to return to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild Klal Yisrael. La'enei Chananel Dodi, in the eyes of Chananel, my uncle, why he's called uncle over here when he's really cousin. So they say that you have many cases like this in Tanakh where a Zayde is called a Tata, a grandchild is called a son. I imagine, like here in this country, everybody's a Dode. Everybody's a Dode. I'm a Dode. I don't know how many kids I'm a Dode to. So I gave it in the eyes of Chananel Dodi and in the eyes of the witnesses who wrote the Sefer HaMikneh, and the eyes of all of the Jews who are imprisoned in the Chatzar HaMatara. They must have all been standing around over there. They can't believe their eyes what's going on over here. A great real estate deal that's valueless. It's worthless. And it's all taken place. And everybody's serious about it. Nobody's smiling. Nobody's smiling. Nobody's laughing. Nobody even says, hey, what kind of joke is this, you know? What did you buy? Ventnor Place? What? Boardwalk? You know what? Pay 200 and go to jail. That's where you are. I mean, what are you buying? You're buying Monopoly. You're buying Monopoly property. For what? For real money. Nobody says a word. Vatzaved Baruch le'neim le'mor, and I commanded Baruch in their eyes, saying, so says the God of hosts, the God of Israel, take these documents, et sefer hamikneh hazeh, et hachatum, et sefer hagalui hazeh, unitatem b'klei cheres, you should put it into an earthenware jug, l'man yamdu yamim ravim. You have to watch that document, la'azoy v'yan oig in cup. You have to watch it very carefully. Okay. If you want to understand the meaning of this strange scene that has taken place, so Yirmiyahu says, so says the God of hosts, the God of Israel, Od yikonu batin v'sadot uchramin v'aretz hazot. There will yet come a time when people will buy houses, fields, and vineyards in this land. End of the story. Now begins the tefillah of Yirmiyahu. I've seen a lot about the tefillah of Yirmiyahu, but I have my... It's a strange tefillah. It's a very strange tefillah. There are difficulties with this prayer. And I have my own shot, and that's what I want to share with you. That's it. But it'll take us... We didn't want the time, but we'll do it. Vayet palel el Hashem acharei titi et sefer hamikneh el baruch ben neriah leimor, and I prayed to God after I gave the document of sale to Baruch ben Neriah, so say. I think that this is important. We knew that he already gave it. Why does he have to say, I prayed after I gave the sefer to Baruch ben Neriah? So I believe that what's really happening over here is the following. I have one example. The Rabbeinu Shlom tells Avraham Avinu to take his one and only son Yitzchak and bring him as a sacrifice upon the altar. Avraham Avinu, without hesitation, immediately sets out to carry out this awesome, frightening, and terrifying task. 3 days he travels, he does everything, he goes up to the top of the mountain, he puts him on the Mizbeach, he lifts up his hand, and the Malach says, Al Tashlach, Tishlach Yotchol Ana, don't do anything, don't stretch out your... His hand is stayed at the 12th hour. The Medrash says, after it's all over, Avraham Avinu says to the Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, of course, Rabbeinu Shalom, that when you commanded me to take Yitzchak, I had a great deal to say. You know what I could have said at that point? I could have said to you, Etmol Amartali, yesterday you told me that Yitzchak is going to be my child from which a Jewish people is going to emerge. And now you tell me to go ahead and sacrifice him? What a contradiction. What's going on over there? But I didn't ask. When does Avraham ask? After he has fulfilled exactly everything that he could do until the very last minute. That's exactly what Yirmiyahu says. Version wants me to do it. I will do this sale kedasu kedin lemahadrin menamahadrin. And now I've done it already. I've given the sefer to Baruch Ben Neria. It's finished. It's complete. I've done exactly what you wanted me to do. Now, I have a few words. To say to you. Word palel usually means, and he prayed. Let's see what kind of prayer. Just halkop mitzvah, because I'm going to move. I'm going to move with alacrity and with speed. Word palel el Hashem achad ATT et sefer amignal baruch ben neri yalema ahavei Hashem alakim hinei atah sisos hashmayim v'sorot, you made the heaven and the earth. With your great strength, without your outstretched arm, lo ye polemim kol davar. Nothing is concealed from you. You know everything. Osa chesed la'alafim, you do kindness for thousands of generations. You repay, you punish the sin of the fathers upon the children who follow after them. Hakel hagadol hakibah, the great and mighty God, Hashem tzvakot shimo, the God of hosts is his name. So here we're saying the pasuk. By the way, this next pasuk is the pasuk that is said in Tziduk Hadin by Alevaya. That God is Gedol Ha'itzah, his plans are great. V'rav Ho'aliyah, and his actions are great. And God knows everything that we think, and he rewards and he punishes. We make a statement that the Rebbein Shem knows everything. There is Hashgach Pratis, and we accept his judgment. Your eyes are open to watch all of the ways of men, to give each man as his way, and the fruit of his deeds. You did miracles in Egypt until today, and miracles about Israel and man. You made a great name for yourself. You took your people out of the land of Egypt with signs and with miracles, with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, with a motor of God all over, with great awesomeness. And you gave them this land that you swore to their fathers to give to them. Eretz zavas chalav udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Vayavo, when they came. Now this is going to be a little interesting here. Now we have to take note of it. Vayavo, when they came and they inherited the land, and they didn't listen to you, they didn't go in your Torah. Whatever you commanded them, they didn't do. They were bad. They were bad. All of this evil has befallen them. Alright? The battering rams are already at the city. The city is about to fall into the hands of the Kazan. The city has been given into the hands of the Kazan, who are waging war against the city. The sword, the hunger, the pestilence, whatever you said happened, and you see it. The last pasuk of his prayer. And you said to me, you, Hashem Lekim, said to me, Knei l'cho ha'sodeh ta'kesef, buy the field with money, v'ho'eid edim, and have witnesses watch it, v'ho'eid nitna b'yad ha'kasem, and the city is being given into the hands of the Babylonians. I don't understand. That's the tefillah. What doesn't he understand? What's his tefillah all about? What doesn't he understand? He himself had said it earlier in the name of Hashem, Pasuk Tetvav, Ki chol Hashem tzakot alakei Yisrael, O yikonu batim v'sadol suchramim v'oretz azot.
There will come a time that people are going to buy houses, fields, and vineyards in this land. What doesn't Yirmiyahu understand? What's this whole tefillah about?
So, I've seen the Farshim, from the modern Farshim. The classic Farshim, I didn't see much. I didn't see much at all. The modern Farshim, you know, yeah, he's confused. He has difficulty grasping what's happening. I don't have any difficulty grasping what's happening. What's his problem? Yirmiyahu happens to be the prophet who was commanded by God to do more symbolic acts than any other prophet. You know what a symbolic act is? A maaseh simli, where a Navi is told to do something which represents the idea of his prophecy. And by doing so, what is really happening is he's taking an abstract nevuah and he's making it concrete. He could have said, Ko Amar Hashem, so says God, O Yikanu Patim Sada Sukram and Varatazos, there will come a time that that they'll buy fields in this city, in this land. No, but the Gemara tells him, do it. Do this whole bit. Buy a field. So that takes the prophecy, which is abstract, and now gives it, in a sense, life. That makes the prophecy, in a sense, eternal. And Yirmiyahu was told to do this a good number of times. At one point he's told to take a yoke upon him and walk through the streets of Jerusalem with an animal's yoke on him, and tell the Jewish people to accept the yoke of the king of Babel upon them. There was another time that he was told to go to a glass manufacturer and take a bakbuk and shatter it by Shara Ashba. There's a whole nevuah that comes to him at Shara Ashba, that this is the way God is going to shatter such and such. Number of things that he's told to do. What's he praying for? What's it all about? What doesn't he understand? I mean, if I beat, I tell him, Yirmiyahu, which word didn't you understand? Od, Yikanu, Batim, Sados, Uchramin, Baratazos. Which word don't you understand? So I believe I have my own pshat. I have to tell you the truth. I like my pshat. And the key to unlock my pshat is not in what it says here as much as in what it doesn't say. There's one word missing. There is one word missing. And once you get to the heart of the one word that's missing, then we can understand the tefillah of Yirmiyahu. The one word that's missing, of course, is in Pasuk Yud Ches. Go back to Yud Ches. Osa Chesed Lalachim Umishalim Avon Avot Al Chayt B'neihem Achareihem Hakel Hagadol Hagibar Hanora. What happened to the word Hanora? Alright, turn over. Down at the bottom of the sheet we have a famous Gemara that we No, other side. No, that's it. Down at the bottom there's a Gemara in Yuma that we learned in a different context, and take a look at it now. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Lama nikru shmon anshei Knesset HaGadolah, why were the men of the Great Assembly called the men of the Great Assembly? So the Gemara answers, because Hechaziru apod ol yoshna, they returned the crown to its original glory. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he prays to Hashem in Torah, refers to God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. Also, Yirmiyahu came, and he said, Nochvim Nitarkin into Hecholo Goyim are all over his holy place. Ayeno Rosa. Where is the awesomeness and fearlessness of God? Where is it? Goyim are trampling through the Kodesh HaKodesh, desecrating everything. This is Chilul Hashem. Where's the Noros? So he didn't say Noro. Where was that? That's here. When he's praying, he says, Akel HaGodol HaGibor. That's it. Gemara goes on to say, Daniel later, he's this fellow, and he says, Goyim are enslaving the Jewish people in exile. He didn't call God Gibor. There's a psilot in chapter 9, a Sefer Daniel, where he doesn't call the Rabbi Shem Gibor. Along came the men of the great assembly, Anshei Knesset HaGadola, and they composed the Shmona Esrei, and they returned the crown to its original glory. Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Anara. The Gemara at the end asks, V'Rabbonon HeChiyoved Hachi? How did the rabbis Daniel and Yirmiyahu, how did they leave out Gibor and Nora? Who gave them the right to do that? Moshe Rabbeinu had said, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora. Who gave them the right to change? Omar Abalaza, the last line, Mitoch sheyodim b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu shamiti hu, because they know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth, l'fichach lo kizbu, but they didn't lie to him. The last line in Rashi that's on the line, Maskim alo emes, God agrees to truth, v'soniyat ha-sheker, when he hates falsehood. Doesn't like sheker. Sorry, the Rabbein Shem doesn't like sheker. That means the following. If Yirmiyahu doesn't feel and doesn't see the fearsomeness and awesomeness of God, he's not going to say it. This tefillah is not just a made-up text in advance. When you see Churban, you don't have to say, oh, this is Hashem. It's not Hashem. It's not Hashem. I don't see him. This tefillah, the word ve'etpalel, comes from the word plilin, judging. When I stand before God in prayer, I'm in a sense judging myself. I'm asking God to judge me. I believe that what Yirmiyahu is doing here is in the great tradition of Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu HaNavi. You know what he's doing? He's challenging the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's not praying for anything. Don't do me no favors. I don't need anything. I'm challenging you. How can you do this? By virtue of the fact that he says, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor, the silence that comes after Gibor says, Rebbeinu Shalom, I can't describe you as Nora. You're not Nora to me and to Klal Yisrael now. And then he goes on to say, yeah, I know, they came here, they did Averes, and you punished them. Ah, it's all a neat package. And now you're punishing them, and the city is there. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Yirmiyahu prophesied the Churban. After it happens, he says, Eicha yoshva badad ha'ir abasiyam. God Almighty, how did you do it? Why did you do it? I know your excuses. I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me that they sinned and I sent Nevi'im and they were over there, they deserve, and it's terrible. I think I'll get rid of them. Get rid of the whole city. This is Chilul Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says it. Lama Yonu Mitzrayim, God wants to destroy the Jewish people by the eagles. Why should Mitzrayim say that you took them out of Mitzrayim in order to kill them in the desert? After the miracle, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what they're going to say in Mitzrayim? You know how this is going to play in Mitzrayim? Mi bilti yecholas Hashem, because God can't bring them into Eretz Yisrael, so he killed them in the river. Shkoyach, tikhu Hashem. Yirmiyahu is not praying. Yirmiyahu is challenging God. There's something seriously wrong. You know what's happened over here? So to speak, a diminishing of God's stature. You may still be a Kel HaGadol HaGibor, but you're not Nora anymore. the real accomplishment comes with what follows. I'm going to take you quickly through. You have the next page over there? Second page? Not that. That's the second side of the first page. This is the second page. This second page has the rest of the chapter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. And just hold your fingers on there, and we're going to take you through the response. And I'll explain to you the Rebbeinu's response. It's a long response, but we'll take care of it in a few minutes. Vayhi Dvar Hashem al Yirmiyo le'emor, the word of God came to Yirmiyo saying, Hinei ani Hashem le'tei kol basar. I am the God of all flesh. I mean, many poly called over. Is there anything that I don't know? I tell you, with this first sentence already, there's something that doesn't sit right with me. You know who I am? I'm a king called Bosa. I'm the God of all flesh. I mean, but God has to, he's introducing himself? Why is he introducing himself? What do you mean, Yirmiyahu? You think there's something I don't know? Lachem kom Hashem. Watch. I'm going to give this city into the hands of the Kazdim and into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will conquer the city. The Kazdim who are waging war against the city are going to ignite the city and burn it in fire, and all of those houses that upon which they brought incense to other gods are going to be destroyed. They did this all in order to anger me, because B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Yehuda did only evil in my eyes from their childhood, all the time. Because Al-Api Val-Chamasi, Haisoli Ha-Irazos, this city, Yerushalayim, I've been full of anger and wrath against it. I can't wait to get rid of it from beneath the face of this earth. He keeps going on, and he describes the terrible chatoyim of Klal Yisrael. They're so bad. Quite a litany over here. I mean, Yirmiyo himself has already said this time and time again in the name of God. What's happening over here? Imagine the scene. I'll let you in on how I understand it. You know what the Rebbeinu is doing? The one he's closest to is Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu is telling him, God, I don't understand you. It beats me. You know what the Rebbeinu needs now? He's been challenged by Yirmiyahu. What he needs is Yirmiyahu should understand him. So he begins with the whole list of the terrible avodas. If I see it correctly, Yirmiyahu doesn't say a word, poker-faced. You don't see a twitch in his eye. You know what? Yirmiyahu is totally unimpressed. Unimpressed. In a sense, Rebbeinu has to keep talking. He has to get to Yirmiyahu somehow. He wants Yirmiyahu to understand it. So take a look. After this long list of the terrible avodas, and I got to get rid of this miserable city from the day it was established till today, I can't wait to get rid of it. The Atah, take a look in Pasuk 36. The Atah now, Lochain, therefore. What a strange therefore. Watch. This is what God says about this city, Asher Atem Omrin, that you say, Nitno Biad Melech Babel, it is being given into the hands of the king of Babel, Bachedev, Varov, Vadever, the sword and hunger and pestilence. Hinini Mekabzal Mikola. All of a sudden, everything changes. I'm going to gather them in from all of the lands. Asher yidachtim shom, that I disperse them there. Va'apiyu v'chamati u'v'ketzef gadol, with my anger and my wrath and my fury, my great fury. Va'ashivotim alam makom hazeh, I'm going to bring them back to this place. Va'hoshavtim la'betach, and I'm going to have them live here in security. V'hayu li la'am, there will be a people. Do you hear what an awesome change has taken place? Lachay. You know what the Lachay is? The Rosh sees that he has failed miserably in convincing Yirmiyahu of the justice of his ways by listing all of the Averis. Yirmiyahu is not moved. Chavrishu, you're not Nora. Nikuda! Period! So the Rosh said, but wait, I'm not finished yet. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to settle them here in security. They will be a people unto me, and I will be their God. I'll give them one heart, the derech echad, and one way, and you'd always need to fear me. Kol hayomim, for all time, letov lahem, so that it should be good to them, v'levneim achreim. V'chorati lahem brit ha'olam, I'm going to make an eternal treaty with them, ashalo oshuv me'achreim, that I will never turn away from behind them. That treaty is going to be like TVO time to be good to them. That Yirapir, people of Avram, I'm going to give my fear in their hearts. Levilti sur me'olai, so that they shall never turn away from me. Vesasti aleihem lehei tivotam. I'm going to be full of joy to bring good to them. Unetatim baratz hazot, I will plant them in this land to emet in truth. Bechol libi ubechol nafshi. You hear God saying, with my whole heart and my whole soul. Right? Yirmiyahu at this point should already, there should be a smile, there should be some kind of a recognition. Pretty good. Now, I'm beginning to understand. In other words, you realize that what you're doing now, maybe you have to do it, but this is not what we expected. But you know what? Yirmiyahu remains poker faced. Nothing. No reaction. So the Ribbono Shel Olam has to speak now. For the third time. And you'll see the promises that Hashem makes to Yirmiyahu the third time around. Then Yirmiyahu already says, Rishon, good. That's what I wanted. Watch. Ki chomer Hashem kasher higdeit yolam hazeh kolat ro gedolo hazot. Just as I brought all of this evil upon this people, Kenanochi Navy Alaim at Kolatov, I bring all of the good. Asher Onochi Dover Alaim, all the good that I said about them, I'm going to bring it. The Nikna Ha'aretz, what was the first Nevuah that God told him? They will yet buy houses, fields and vineyards. Now listen to what he says. The Nikna Hasada Beretz Hazos, fields will be bought in this land. Asher Atem Omdim, that you say, Shmama hi, it's desolate. May Ein Adam Ubehema. Nobody's here. It's all death. Nikna Biyad HaKazim, it's given into the hands of the Kazim. You should know, Sodos Bakeset Yiknu, people are going to buy fields with money. The Chatom Pasefer, and they're going to write documents of sale. The Chatom, and sign it for her aid, Edim, and witnesses. And you know where they're going to do it? Be'eretz Binyamin, in the land of Binyamin, Be'sivei Yerushalayim, around Yerushalayim, in the cities of Yehuda, and in the cities of the mountain, and in the cities of the Shvela, and in the cities of the Negev. Ki Oshivet Shutan, Lo Mashem, because I'm going to bring back their captivity. That's exactly what Yirmiyahu wanted. Kabein Shom, I'm unhappy with, someday they will yet buy houses, fields, and vineyards in this land. I want a commitment. I want a commitment that's solid. I want you to spell out precisely where this is going to happen. And you know what he elicits from the Ribbono Shel Olam? By having challenged him, he elicits from him a promise that all of Eretz Yisrael, there will be purchase of land. You understand? Every time that we bought an apartment here, we're a fulfillment of this Nevuah. You would have told somebody even 100 years ago, that if you buy it as a shtickel, a dunam land over there in Tel Aviv, as the Zan, a multi-millionaire, they wouldn't have believed you. Nobody wanted to buy anything here 100 years ago. I mean, real estate is greiser business. It's the fulfillment of the nevuah. Yirmiyahu's not praying to God. Yirmiyahu has no difficulty understanding what God told him. What Yirmiyahu has difficulty with is the promise is not enough, and nothing justifies what you're doing. I don't agree with you. And the only way that I can demonstrate my disfavor is I can't say Nora. I can't call you Nora. What's happening now is the great Chilul Hashem of all time. Jews being cast out of their homes, cast out of Yerushalayim. That's Chilul Hashem. And therefore, having challenged the Rebbeinu Shem, the Rebbeinu Shem has to come back. And the only thing that satisfies Yirmiyahu is when he gets that last pasuk. That last pasuk is the great promise of all. Because if ultimately Parshat Bahar is Ki li kol haaretz, the whole earth is mine, it's all mine, all Eretz Yisrael, every bit of it is mine, then what I want from you, Rabbeinu Shlomo, is a promise that every part of Eretz Yisrael will be ours. And in every part of Eretz Yisrael, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to do. And when he finally gets that promise, that's the end of Yirmiyahu's, in a sense, rebellion or serious challenge of the Rebbeinu. So that the key to unlock the mystery of the chapter is one word that's missing. The word Nora. He didn't say Nora. And the Rebbeinu wants Yirmiyahu to understand him. The Rebbeinu also needs somebody who will understand him. He needs Yirmiyahu. And he may not get Yirmiyahu to understand, but he may make Yirmiyahu feel a great deal better. Because he has elicited an unbelievable, clearly stated promise from the Rebbeinu Shem. Erev Tov.
June 21st, next year, Bezrat Hashem.